All right, welcome back, everyone. Today we're diving into something a lot of you have been asking about: call to action buttons. You know, those clickable buttons on websites. How do we make them really work? The ones that actually get people to, you know, click and sign up or buy something.
And to guide us, you've got an excerpt from an article. It's called High Impact Call to Action Buttons: Driving Conversions on Your Website. So, yeah, let's unpack that, see what it's all about.
Because it can't be as simple as just sticking a button on a page that says buy now and expecting everyone to, you know, click it.
Right. It's definitely more nuanced than that. This article really gets into the psychology of what makes a person click. Why do people click on certain things and not others?
I'm intrigued already. So, like, even something basic like color, what's the psychology behind that when it comes to, you know, designing these buttons?
Yeah, color's huge. We associate colors with feelings and actions. Right, think about it. Like red often means urgency or a warning, maybe. But blue can be more trustworthy, more calming.
Okay, so if I'm having a sale, like a limited time offer, a red button makes sense. But is there research to back that up? Like, do red buttons actually get more clicks?
They actually do. The article mentioned a study. Just changing a button from green to red increased clicks by 20% for an e-commerce site, I think it was. But like, it's not always that simple. For example, imagine a bank's website. A big red button might actually scare people off.
It's about knowing your audience, I guess. What colors work for them? What about size? Does a bigger button always mean more clicks? I feel like I see some giant buttons out there sometimes.
It's funny, you'd think so, but no. A bigger button grabs attention for sure, but too big, and it kind of feels pushy, you know? The article called it the Goldilocks size, not too big, not too small, just right to get noticed.
That makes sense. Finding that sweet spot. Okay, so we've got color, size. What about the shape of the button? Can that really influence whether someone clicks?
Maybe surprisingly, yeah, think about it. Rounded buttons, they feel kind of friendly, approachable, right? Good for brands that want to seem warm. But if you want sleek and modern, you know, sharp corners might be better.
So even the shape ties into your whole brand identity. Interesting. Okay, now where you place these buttons on the page, that's got to be super important too, right?
Absolutely. Above the fold, you know, the part you see before scrolling, that's prime real estate. It's the first thing people see. So yeah, call to action should be up there, front and center.
Okay, that makes sense. But I can't just stick it anywhere above the fold, right? It still needs to make sense within the page.
Right. You need to think about the flow of the content. The article talks about placing the button where it feels natural, like the next logical step for the user. As they're reading, you know, they're guided towards it.
It's almost like you're leading them by the hand, visually, right to that button. But a button's more than just how it looks. What about the words on it? The actual text?
Ugh, the copywriting. Yes, even the best designed button can fail if the words aren't right. That's a whole art in itself.
So what makes for good button text? What actually gets people clicking?
This article had some good points. Be concise, action-oriented, strong verbs, you know, that tell people what'll happen when they click.
So instead of learn more, which is kind of vague, what would be every option?
Maybe discover the secrets or unlock exclusive content. Creates a little intrigue, gets them curious.
I like that. And the article talked about highlighting the benefit too, right? What does the user get by clicking?
Exactly. Instead of just download, tell them what they get. Download your free guide, you know, or get your personalized report. People like to know what they're getting into.
Okay, so we've got color, size, shape, placement, and now copywriting. Feels like we're just scratching the surface here.
There's definitely more to it. Next, we'll dig into A/B testing, you know, actually measuring what works best.
This is fascinating. We'll be right back with more after a quick break. We're back and ready to dig even deeper into these call to action buttons. We've talked about all those individual elements, you know, color and size and all that, but what about the bigger picture? Like, where do these buttons actually live on the page? The article spent a good chunk of time on landing pages, I noticed.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, those individual things we talked about, those are the ingredients. And the landing page is like the whole recipe,
Yeah.
you know, for that user experience.
I like that, the recipe. Okay, so just to remind everyone, what exactly is a landing page? Why are they so important when we're trying to, you know, get people to take action?
So think of a landing page as like a splash page on your website. It's got one very specific goal. Maybe it's getting people to sign up for a webinar or download like a white paper or something, or yeah, even make a purchase, right? And unlike your homepage, which has tons of stuff going on, a landing page is super focused, streamlined, just on that one action.
And the call to action, the button, that's like the star of the show, right? On that landing page.
Absolutely. The article made a good point about that. You could have the most amazing landing page, beautiful design, great info. But if your call to action is weak,
yeah,
or in the wrong spot, it's like having this fancy car with no gas pedal. You know what I mean? It's not going anywhere.
So placement on a landing page, that must be even more strategic than just thinking about above the folds like we talked about before.
It's about understanding that user journey. Like, how do people actually take in info online? How do they make decisions? The article talks about visual hierarchy. It's how you use design to kind of lead the user's eye, you know, to the most important parts of the page.
Okay, so it's not just that the button's at the top. It's that my design, the whole layout, it's leading them there naturally.
Exactly. Think of it like a good story, right? The content on your landing page, that's the story. You're building up the need or the desire, and then bam, the call to action, that's the payoff. That's how you get there.
I'm seeing how it all connects now, but like, how do you actually create that visual hierarchy? What is some of the tricks of the trade, I guess?
Well, the article mentioned a few things. Contrasting colors, for one, using white space effectively, and then directional cues. You know, maybe an arrow pointing towards the button, or even like a picture of someone looking at the button.
So even if the button's not the very first thing they see, you can make sure their eye goes there. It's almost like a subconscious, right?
Yeah, totally. And don't forget the headline. A good headline, clear and concise, that tells people what they'll get. That can really set the stage for a strong call to action.
So they're already thinking, yes, this is what I need. And then they see that button and they're ready to click.
Exactly. And another big thing with landing pages, especially for those buttons, is building trust.
Trust, yeah. That's huge online. But how do you make a button feel trustworthy? It's not like it's a person you can shake hands with.
It's all about transparency. The article was big on that. Being clear about what happens when you click, no surprises, no hidden fees, just straight up info.
Okay, so instead of get started now, which could mean anything, it's better to be specific, like sign up for a free trial or download the free guide.
Exactly. They know what they're getting into. Builds confidence, and you can use visuals for this too, you know?
Oh, I see what you mean. Like, I'm picturing a website, let's say it's for like a bank or something.
Oh.
And next to the button where you put in your credit card info, there's that little padlock icon. It's like a little reassurance, you know?
Perfect example. Or like testimonials. You know, happy customers saying good things, or even those badges from like security companies or whatever. Those little things can make a big difference.
Man, it's amazing how much psychology goes into something as simple as a button.
It's crazy, right? There's so much going on under the hood. And speaking of deeper levels, we got to talk about this thing called dynamic personalization. The article really got into that.
Yeah, we touched on that earlier, like how the color or text can be different for different people. But this sounds like next level stuff.
Imagine a website where the button actually changes based on who you are, you know, like what you've looked at on the site before, what you're interested in.
Wait, so like if I've been reading a bunch of travel articles about Italy, the button might say, find your perfect Italian getaway instead of just book your trip.
Boom, you got it. Mm. And that kind of personalization, it can really boost those conversions because you're giving people exactly what they want, right? At that moment.
It's like mind reading almost.
Yeah.
But how does that even work, technically speaking?
Well, it uses data about the user. You can get that from cookies, you know, or if they have an account, or even just by seeing what pages they visit. And then there are these platforms, these tools that can use that data to like swap out different content, including those buttons.
So it's not just designing a bunch of different buttons. There's a whole like system behind it.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. It can get pretty complex, but the results can be amazing. Like the article talked about this one company, an e-commerce site. They increased their sales by like 20% just by personalizing those buttons, just based on what people had looked at on the site before.
That's a huge jump.
Mm.
But I can also see how it could go wrong. Like if it's too much personalization, it gets kind of creepy.
Right. You got to be careful. It's a delicate balance. The key is be honest with people about what you're doing with their data. Give them control over it, you know.
So it's not about being sneaky. It's about using that data to actually help them.
Exactly. When it's done right, dynamic personalization, it actually makes the experience better. Those buttons, they feel more like helpful suggestions, not like pushy sales tactics.
This whole conversation is making me want to go back and look at every button on my site. It's crazy how much thought goes into this stuff.
Yeah, every little thing matters. Even tiny tweaks can make a difference.
Okay, but before we get lost in the weeds, there's one more big thing we got to address. mobile optimization. Like, we can't ignore that most people are browsing on their phones these days.
You're so right. It's huge. If those buttons aren't working on mobile, you're missing out.
Ugh, tell me about it. Trying to tap on a tiny button on my phone, it's the worst. Especially if I'm, like, out and about and my signal's not great.
Oh, I feel that. And it's something we can fix. It all comes down to designing for that mobile experience. Making it easy, you know?
Okay, so what are the big things to keep in mind when we're trying to make those buttons mobile friendly?
Well, button size, that's number one. Those tiny buttons that might work on a desktop, on a phone, forget it. They gotta be big enough to actually tap with your thumb.
I've definitely abandoned online shopping carts because the buttons were just too small. It's like life's too short for that, you know?
And those are lost sales, right? So yeah, make those buttons big and make sure there's enough space around them so they're easy to tap.
Makes sense. Now, what about placement? Does above the fold still matter on mobile?
It does, but now you gotta think about the thumb zone, they call it, like where your thumb naturally rests when you're holding your phone.
So it's not just about being at the top. It's about being where people can actually reach it.
Right. You got to think about how people actually hold their phones and put that button where it's easy to tap.
Okay, I'm picturing it now. What about the text on the button? The font size, the spacing? That's got to be important for mobile too, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Make that text big enough to read without squinting.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure there's enough space between the words so it's easy to read.
So it's all about that user experience, even on a tiny screen.
Exactly. And one more thing. This is huge. Make sure your website loads quickly. On mobile, people are impatient. They'll bounce if it takes too long.
Oh, yeah. If a site's taking forever to load, I'm out of there. What's a good loading time to aim for?
Well, the article mentioned that most people expect a site to load in, like, 3 seconds max. If it takes longer than that, they're gone.
Wow, 3 seconds. That's fast. It really shows you how important this mobile optimization is.
It's crucial. And it's not just about keeping users happy. Google actually looks at how mobile friendly your site is. It affects your search ranking.
So it's a win-win. Better for users, better for your search results.
Exactly. And these days, most people are on mobile, so there's no excuse for not optimizing. We could do a whole episode on just this, you know?
You're probably right.
Yeah.
But for now, I think we've covered a lot of ground, all these different aspects of call to action buttons. And in our final part, we'll zoom in on the words themselves, the copywriting, how to write that text that makes people want to click. We're back, and now it's time to tackle the words themselves, the actual text on those call to action buttons.
Yeah, it's like we've built this amazing button, placed it perfectly on the page, but now it needs a voice.
So what are the secrets to writing, you know, really compelling CTA copy, the kind that actually gets people clicking? The article had some interesting insights on that.
Well, one of the biggest things is just being clear, making sure people know exactly what will happen when they click that button.
So we're saying goodbye to those vague click here buttons.
Oh, yeah. Those are out. The user should know what they're getting into. No surprises.
So instead of just download, it's better to say something like, download the free guide, right?
Exactly. Sets those expectations right from the start. No guesswork involved.
And the article also talked about being, what was it? Action-oriented. Like, the words themselves should inspire action.
Absolutely. You want to use strong verbs, you know? Words that create a sense of urgency, like get started today or claim your discount now.
Yeah, there's a real energy to that kind of language. It's like, don't wait, do it now.
Exactly. You're creating that sense of, hey, this opportunity is right here, right now.
And I remember they talked about highlighting the benefit too, right? What does the user actually get out of clicking this button?
That's a big one. People are way more likely to click if they understand the value they're getting. What's in it for them right now?
So instead of just like register, you might say register to secure your spot or register for exclusive access, something like that.
Perfect examples. You're emphasizing what makes this offer special, unique, makes it much more tempting to click.
And it's got to match your audience too, right? Like the language you use should resonate with whoever you're trying to reach.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You got to know who you're talking to. Are they young, old, professional, casual? That all affects the language you use.
So like if I'm targeting a younger crowd, maybe I can be a little more playful with the wording, maybe throw in an emoji or two.
Exactly. But if you're talking to, say, a bunch of lawyers, you probably want to keep it a bit more formal.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Speak their language. Now, there was one other tactic the article mentioned that I thought was interesting. Using language that implies like exclusivity. Mm. Or scarcity. Oh, right. Like limited time offer or join the VIP list, that kind of thing. It plays on that fear of missing out, right?
Yep. FOMO. It's a powerful psychological thing. People don't want to miss out on something special, so they're more likely to act quickly.
But you got to be careful with that, right? You don't want to, like, create fake scarcity just to manipulate people.
For sure. Honesty is key. You want to create a genuine sense of urgency, but you don't want to trick anyone.
It's about finding that balance. Persuasion, yeah, but also respect for the user.
And don't forget, even with all these tips, the best way to figure out what works is to test it.
A/B testing, our old friend. Try out different versions, see what actually gets the clicks.
Exactly. Let the data guide you.
Wow. This has been quite the deep dive. We've covered so much ground, from the psychology of colors to the power of words. I feel like I have a whole new understanding of these little buttons.
I'm glad to hear that. And remember, even small changes can have a big impact. Don't be afraid to experiment, to try new things.
So to wrap things up, our message to you today is this. Don't underestimate the power of those little rectangular boxes on your website.
They're more than just buttons. They're opportunities to connect with your audience, to guide them, to help them take action.
So take the time to really analyze your call to action buttons. Test different designs, play around with the copy, and keep learning.
And most importantly, have fun with it. It's a creative process as much as it is a strategic one.
And with the right knowledge and a little bit of creativity, you can turn those buttons into powerful tools, tools that drive your business forward. So until next time, keep diving deep.